Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 343 shows and counting this evening. And that's just wonderful because at the end of June, we'll be hitting 8 years of on these radio platform shows, standing up and speaking up for the animals in need and distress. And we're not going to give up there. We cover from every angle out there and trying to make them, you know, get their rights granted, not violated. And we got to do what's necessary. So please, everyone, contact your state representatives and senators. And here's this number. I keep it in my contacts. I got it memorized. But area code 202-224-3121, and ask for your zip code during business hours, and just ask to speak to your state rep or your senator and see what we could, you know, get your voice across, because all of our voices do matter, our actions matter, and if we do nothing, expect no changes, and the problems get worse. Okay, so I'm just going to go over a couple things here. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Voices Care for Animals, coming live to you on podcast every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. You can listen worldwide, everyone. You can listen by phone, and I'm going to be taking calls later on in the show. And that area code, and it's the same every Thursday, area code 310-982-4270. And you'll be in the queue. You can press 1 to let me know that you want to speak to the guest, and just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. We are going to be rocking the airways again for the animals, everyone, and we're going to keep doing it because they so well deserve. The animals should live free from fear, anxiety, abuse, neglect, torture, and the list goes on. They should live in peace and comfort and have their rights granted, not violated or thrown away, because all lives matter out there, including all the animals. So they should be, you know, living in peace and comfort and freedom out there, because that's what they deserve. And we can't tolerate any abuse and neglect going on. That's why these radio shows are happening, because we want to see the new laws for all the paws out there, because they so well deserve they are, you know, they're awesome. Animals are so awesome, and a lot of us have pets at home, and we want to see, you know, the animals out there get treated fairly, even, you know, farm animals, domestic, wild. I mean, the list goes on, and we all share this earth temporarily, and we got to make the best of it. So please, everyone, to take that foot in the right direction and take action, because the longer the victories get here, the longer the animals suffer, and we don't want to see that. So please do your part and contact your state representative, senators. Try and be polite and professional. You can email them, Google search or search, find my state representatives or my state senators. And out there, when the bill is in you know, legislation, make that phone call or that email and to support it by all means, because the more voices out there and action takers, the better. And I wanted to announce Diane Lynn Echo. She got a group together on Facebook. You want to join in. It's Animal Advocates Radio. Voices Carry for Animals is going to be on my podcast located there. Also on Voices Carry for Animal Support Group. She's one of the great admins I have on there, that because I can't always be there. And a big shout out to all them and all the members. And give a shout out to all the, you know, who helps me promote this show. We got the Twitter followers and big animal pages there. On Facebook, friends that are involved and followers that keep, you know, the pages and fans of animal rights. I mean, this list is huge out there, and I want a big thank you to all of you, and also Pinterest and LinkedIn and the ones involved sharing the shows. So we have a lot of help here. And I want to show my appreciation for all you're doing. I could get names, and there's so many out there that it'll take me the whole show to give them out. But thank you, everyone. It takes teamwork to see the victories. And a big shout-out to Animal Advocate Alliance, Gary Bradford. He is awesome. I am a part of their family and the website. And they're bringing out a radio show coming soon, podcast all about animals radio, and that is Animal Advocate Alliance, everyone. They are on Twitter, they're on Facebook, and also the website, and I am posting as Mama Bear on there. That's my nickname, Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear, and helping out, and we're just got some great team players globally out there, standing together, bringing the awareness, the education, petitions, events, and everything. So, Gary out there, thank you so much, and I hope you call in. He's in Australia, and he's helping out a lot. And you give a big thank you, Gary, and keep it up. I mean, all the work you're doing, and you're a great inspiration to us all. But I want to go ahead and get started with the show. Another thing, I want to thank all you animal advocates out there, advocates and animal lovers from all angles, all over social media, what you're doing to help these animals. All of you rock, okay? And we're going to be rocking the airways again, so keep it up. Because, you know, stay strong and optimistic and just keep going. And be relentless. Don't give up, because if we give up, we are giving up on the animals, and we automatically lose. But I'm going to bring up the guest. Like I said, I'm going to be taking calls later on the show. Area code 310-982-4270. Press 1. You'll be in the queue. And alert me that you want to come on air. I'm going to bring my guest on and welcome her back, Dahl Stanley. She is the Director of In Defense of Animals, Justice for Animals Campaign. How are you doing, Dahl? Welcome back to Voices Carry for Animals. This is always an honor and a pleasure to have you on. But go ahead, and you're live and on the air, and you want to go ahead and refresh the audience how you got started, because I know you've been doing this for many, many years, and you're doing a great job. Thank you so much. But go right ahead.
Thank you. I'm just delighted to be on, to be able to share and to learn from one another. There's so much going on for animals, and it only makes sense because there's more of them than there are us, and we should certainly be considering them with the same compassion and interest that we do for our fellow humans. I'll just say that I've been with In Defense of Animals since our very first meeting in 1983, when Dr. Katz and two other gentlemen and myself met. The first meeting, there were four of us, and from there, In Defense of Animals was originally Californians for Responsible Research, because Dr. Katz was focusing on the California University of California system and the animal research that had been exposed to be not only fruitless but absolutely cruel. So that's when I first started working with In Defense of Animals, actually working for In Defense of Animals in 1989. We changed our name to In Defense of Animals because we had so many supporters and so many causes that were of interest that we wanted to a name that reflected what we were actually working on, not just the research system in the California universities. I wound up when I was first with In Defense of Animals, I largely worked our campaigns from our home office, the Procter & Gamble campaign to end testing on animals, the Wolf campaign, of course, to save wolves' lives, many other campaigns. And then I was asked to come to Mississippi. I've actually been here 29 years as of last Saturday. I was supposed to be here for 2 weeks. We have learned of a Class B USDA licensed Class B animal dealer who was selling animals to research laboratories across the country, and he was illegally acquiring them. So I came actually to help the locals figure out how to handle it, and we found out that there were actually two men in Mississippi engaging in their nefarious practices. And then I went to the trade days and auctions in surrounding states. It took 6 months to get the attention of the USDA to actually shut those two guys down. And that was only because we've got media, media, media. Media is either your best friend or your enemy. And so you've got to be careful when you're working with media that they don't trick you, because that has happened. Sometimes they'll turn your point of view into something that is not intended. But big shout out to almost all of the Mississippi media. They really have been awesome when it comes to animal issues. So I'm really pleased to work with the media in this state and in other states. Then once I settled in here, of course, you know, everybody thinks that Mississippi has all this horrible animal cruelty. Animal cruelty is everywhere in different forms. If you're in California, you may not see it day to day. It's in the laboratory, which is just as cruel and is actually paid for by your tax dollars or by donation. We have to look at the lay of the land and find out, try to perceive, understand what is the cause of animal cruelty, how can it be addressed. And, you know, a lot of us are coming to the conclusion that there are just some people that are bad. Even laws are not going to deter them. But at least we get the satisfaction, hopefully, of gaining justice for abused animals. I have a case going to court next Tuesday. Quite by happenstance, I saw a dog that I thought might belong to my friend. My friend's house burned, and his dog ran from the fire. So I pulled in a driveway to see if that was his dog. The dog didn't have a dog house, but she wasn't thin. But so I was going to address that. And then a puppy came from behind the house wobbling. Immediately, it was clear that the puppy had injuries. The woman that, when I knocked on the door, the woman who came out of the house, I asked her if it was her puppy. She said yes. I asked her if she wanted me to take it to the vet for her. She declined. I told her that the dog, the adult dog, didn't have shelter. And she assured me that they were taking care of all of that that afternoon. Well, of course, I knew better. I'll make this quick and say it wound up that I had to get a seizure order for the puppy. I donated a house for the dog because she was not in bad shape, and she was not a friendly dog at all and would have been hard to place. I will keep my eye on her. But the puppy had been hit by a car and had had no care for at least 3 weeks. The contusions and abrasions were healed. The rear legs of the puppy were broken and no longer able to be fixed. And we put her in veterinary care in a foster home. And very sadly, she died from internal injuries. Horrific. I mean, cases like this make us crazy. The satisfaction, if there's any at all, is that next Tuesday in court, I know that this judge will give her the maximum sentence. I know that he will scold her as he does, and he will let her know that there will be an eye on her, and he'll warn her that if she comes back to his court, it'll be a felony. Now, you know, there's a lot of thought between misdemeanors and felonies. And I'll tell you what's going on right now that's very disturbing. In Mississippi, 2 years ago, our dog and cat law was upgraded so that as first offense for torture and torment, deliberate and intentional harm of an animal is a felony for a dog or a cat. What I'm seeing is that the few cases that have come up that are charged with a felony initially, and I've seen this in a couple of other states, including Ohio, where the person who intentionally killed, harmed, and killed cats, when it gets, they are indicted for a felony, and then the DA decides to process it as a misdemeanor in order to get it through the system. I perfectly understand that the system is overworked, but why do we pass laws that are not going to be enforced? Why do we vote in his attorneys and judges that are not going to uphold the will of the people? So there's one case here in Mississippi currently where a man shot two cats in Ridgeland, Mississippi, and that case is being charged as a felony. And if you look on the In Defense of Animals website in the next week or so, you will see that we will have an alert for you to sign, that we will be asking the district attorney to remember that killing the cats is a felony and that we do not want to see it prosecuted as a misdemeanor. And I'll also say this on the other hand. Many times, felony cases, they drag on for years, or they can drag on for years. You can lose your witnesses. Some people just wear out and are not interested in participating anymore. Different things can affect the outcome of those cases. With misdemeanors in the state of Mississippi, once an affidavit is signed, and anybody can sign an affidavit charging somebody with animal cruelty, the sheriff's department will probably investigate before the judge signs it. But if you're somebody like me, where you have a history of working with law enforcement, as soon as I sign the affidavit, the judge signs the arrest warrant. In this particular case with this pathetic little puppy who suffered out in the horrible frigid weather with broken legs and internal injuries, this case is going to court within 1 month of my signing the affidavit, and I can guarantee the outcome. And please, please understand, never say law enforcement won't anything. The concern that we see in most areas where we're not getting action from law enforcement, there's several factors. There's no animal shelter or rescue group to help them. They're not trained in animal law. They don't even know the animal laws. If you're really interested in seeing prosecutions for animal cruelty in your area, number one, make friends with law enforcement. Know who they are. Know how they respond. Let them know you're professional. Number two, get to know your prosecutors. Number three, get to know your judges. Even though you can't talk to them about the case ahead of time, you can't in any way look like you're influencing them on the case. If they know you're credible, you're going to have a better chance. They're going to pay more attention to you in court. And the other thing that has been really outstanding lately, when you're asked to make calls on behalf of animals to law enforcement or prosecutors, remember, you're representing that animal, not your feelings, not your emotions, not how painful it is to you, because an irritation on your part to the sheriff's department, to the police department, to Fish and Wildlife, to the prosecutor, it may turn a deaf ear. There's one sheriff in Mississippi who doesn't know me well. I attempted to contact him several times and got no response. And then I was told it was because there were so many animal advocates calling his office and being very hostile, especially in a situation where he was doing everything he could to do the right thing, that he just turned us all off. So vent to your friends. Go outside and scream. Careful what you put on Facebook. We should not be mean-spirited, as painful as all of this is to us, because here's the truth. We're suffering right along with the animals. I have a number of friends. We go to bed very late. We want to make sure we're really tired. When we put our heads down to go to sleep, we want to go to sleep. We don't want images and cases and things that we're worried about keeping us awake. So the remedy for all of us, animals that are human and others, is equality in the treatment for rights. And it's an uphill battle because many, many people out there are still not convinced that they should be concerned about animals. This poor little puppy that was in such horrible condition, when the officer and I went to serve the seizure order, I told him, you knock on the door, I'm getting the puppy, and I'm putting her in my vehicle. And I did. And it was a good thing because an entire family came out absolutely outraged that we were there, taking a puppy that they had let suffer, maybe even for a month, suffered. And all they were concerned about was their rights and who was I to take their dog. Get that dog out of your car. Blah, blah, blah. Finally, we just gave it up on him, and away we went with the puppy. And, of course, I will be seeing that one person in the residence that did say that the puppy was hers in court next Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness. So much going on out there, Dahl, you know, and we need more justice out there. And I wanted to get on the Buddy's Law in Mississippi.
Right.
And if you could tell what happened to Buddy, and I know it got turned around, and I know you had to have been happy about that, because of animal rights group, you know, flooding the emails, right, and the phone calls. That's awesome.
And I'm going to say that the sheriff, who would not respond to me because he was agitated by advocates, he was the first one in line to see Buddy's Law take place. A shout out to Senator Angela Hill. She is a senator in Mississippi who has been a strong animal advocate for a number of years and for many pieces of legislation. And this year, she was the number one sponsor of the bill, and of course their co-author, she's the author of the bill. And as pleased as we are, first of all, we had to bombard the lieutenant governor to get him to assign the bill to the Judicial B committee in the Senate. He was not going to assign the bill. He was going to let it die. Well, from In Defense of Animals, he got over 14,000 signatures from Mississippians Against Animal Cruelty. He got at least a minimum of 1,700 emails and phone calls. And don't ever think that your petitions and so forth don't work. Senator Hill handed the lieutenant governor our 14,000 signatures and said, don't you think, you know, maybe you should respond to this? The bill did go to Judiciary B committee. It passed the committee. It passed the Senate unanimously. Absolutely no opposition. As a matter of fact, one of my friends from Mississippi Citizens Against Animal Cruelty watched the whole thing. She said it took about 45 seconds for the vote. So that's very promising. Now it is in the Judicial B Committee in the House of Representatives in Mississippi. It's not been heard yet in the committee. We're waiting for it to be heard. We're waiting for it to be passed in the committee and to go on to the floor for a vote. We do have high hopes for this bill. And here's the reason. Buddy is not the only dog that's been abused in Mississippi, but Buddy made national and international news. Buddy was an innocent victim of a boy, 12 years old, who first tried to hang him with an electric cord and then torched his face.
Mm.
Now, because the boy was under 13 in the state of Mississippi, he could not be prosecuted, not for a felony, not for a misdemeanor. So he got off scot-free, and we all know what this boy's next actions are going to be. Then another boy in the same county who happened to be 13 years old burned his friend to death, and he already had been involved in the shooting death of his 7-year-old sister when he was 9. So he is being prosecuted a capital murder as an adult. Now, a lot of people will say, well, you know, he's going to be a serial killer, or, you know, he's never going to be okay. And that might be the truth. But here's the beauty of Buddy's Law. Buddy's Law is going to not only continue to protect animals, dogs and cats specifically, but it's going to get help for young people who have propensities for violence either they're mistreated at home, for whatever the reason, they will get mental health care and a chance to make a change in their lives and the lives of everybody that they're going to be around. The one thing that I find upsetting, I'll tell you, let me just read what the law is. Buddy's law, to require a child adjudicated delinquent under this section to receive a psychiatric evaluation and counseling or treatment for a length of time prescribed by the youth court. So this is an amendment to our current law, Section 4321603, regarding youth court. The part of this that bothers me is, I'll read just this one part of the bill. Enacting this law to provide only for the protection of domesticated dogs and cats, as these are the animals most often serving as the loyal and beloved pets of the citizens of this state. So we go back to humans again, because we love dogs and cats so much. Oh, they have to be protected from atrocity. What about all the other animals that are tortured by children? So, you know, we got a long way to go. We're finally getting protection for dogs and cats because they're beloved companions. When it comes to livestock in the state of Mississippi, it has to be somebody who has intentionally harmed your livestock before they get charged with a felony. Because after all, that's your profits that went down the drain. We need to look at the intent of our laws, and then we can learn not only better how to have them prosecuted, but also look for other laws, too. Look at different, you know, for example, if you're looking at a puppy mill, besides animal cruelty, there are very often Department of Environmental Quality concerns. So, and, you know, I had a big case once where there's 683 animals that a pet shop supplier had stored in his building. And I think I brought this up before. It was horrendous. He was a drunk, and most of the animals, at least half of them, were dead when we got our seizure order. But the reality is those animals had minimal protection under 97411, a Mississippi state statute, which is simply a misdemeanor. And horses fall under that. In Mississippi, we have an awesome seizure law. It's 97412. And when it was first enacted, you had to give a 3-day notice that you were coming to take somebody's animals and that they needed to make corrections. Well, guess what happened? Gee, the animals disappeared. So, or they died within those 3 days. The beauty of 97412 is that it is a civil act. It is not a criminal code. Therefore, let's say that there's an elder person who has gone to a convalescent home, or they're in the hospital, or somebody goes away on vacation and the people that are supposed to take care of their animals are not doing it. It is a custody law. When you find out that animals are endangered, imperiled, you can get a seizure order through the police department or the sheriff's department. You seize those animals, and then the person or persons that have true custody of those animals can ask for a hearing within 5 days. They're granted a hearing. They have 3 days to come up with a bond. Not all judges go by this. Sometimes they'll give them a hearing after 5 days. Sometimes they don't even ask for a bond. But the reality is that a lot of people don't even bother to ask for a hearing, And so after 5 business days, and it's not said business days, but we usually give them that, the animals are custody of the sheriff's department or the police department, who then turns them over to their court-appointed animal advocacy who helped with the seizure. So it's really awesome. It's a great law, and I would say 90% of the time, before I file a criminal affidavit accusing somebody of the crime of neglect or abuse of an animal, I make sure the animals have been seized and that the chances of them being returned are pretty, very minimal. The sad thing is, and I quote, livestock, with the exception of donkeys, horses, and what we would more consider companion animals, livestock is not included under a seizure order. So if cattle are starving or being abused, you have to go the criminal route, and then the judge usually just orders them to be sold. Again, a lot of work to do, and we have to remember that Mississippi and a lot of other states are very agricultural minded. Even California, as progressive as it is in so many ways, you can't forget that ag is a big, big producer of wealth in the state of California. I can
tell you. Whoa. And you know what gets me, though? You know, Buddy went through so much. I mean, I seen photos, you know, what had happened, and then his, you know, where he was better and everything. But there's no excuse for this. I mean, they have to get some kind of punishment, because to learn, if they get by with it, they're going to keep it up. And it's going to get worse, not better.
And at minimal, I would consider suing the boy's parents for the cost of the care for Buddy. Now, Buddy's an exceptional dog. I've had dogs before that were badly injured. I had one dog that was scalded. Unfortunately, the dog was a feral dog. Treating a feral dog in a clinic for the many months that Buddy has been treated is cruel. Sometimes you have to make that horrible decision to let an animal go that cannot stand being in captivity, that is terrified of humans. And the only thing that animal knows you're doing to it is harming. Whenever you treat it and it's in pain, that's all that poor animal knows. But Buddy had a good, strong spirit. And on the news last night, it was announced that the veterinarian who has been treating Buddy is going to take him home and hope that he fits in with her other dogs. So he's got great hope.
That's good news, yes.
I was also looking at the laws. I was looking at the laws that failed this year, and there were quite a few that I'm horrified that they failed. They either didn't make it out of committee or they weren't passed. And I'll tell you two of them that just make common sense. Occasionally, and far too often, you hear of canine officers dying from heat stroke in a vehicle. It's happened in Mississippi several times since I've been here. The Senate Bill 2233, also authored by Senator Angela Hill, would require canine vehicles to be equipped with heat alarm systems. Now, that just makes good sense. If for no other reason, canine dog cost that law enforcement agency $5,000 to $10,000 plus continued care. So it would make sense that, you know, perhaps we can get some of these get a fund going or something for canine officers so that the vehicles that they ride in are equipped with heat alarm systems, since our legislature thought that wasn't such a good idea. And then another bill, Senate Bill 2328, would have created an animal abuser registry. Now, again, I think it's very disconcerting that this did not pass, because the reality is, I don't care what statistic you look at, most people who become very harmful to other people have begun by picking on or torturing animals because they're voiceless. They're going to take the victims that are the easiest. Now, of course, there's exceptions. You know, when it comes to domestic violence, a lot of that is really wrapped up either in financial problems, childhood problems. It can be, you know, related to substance abuse, alcoholism. I mean, there's a lot of different factors in domestic violence. But people who harm people they don't even know, serial killers, and, you know, we need to stop saying, oh, that person's going to be a serial killer, okay? Let's bring up they're going to be a school shooter. Now, right. A school shooter would be a serial killer if they killed more than one person. But the reality is we have to start identifying the potential for crime with the people that we are hoping will want to pass laws or want to tell their legislators to pass laws. You've got to bring the issue home. Why was Buddy's law passed? Because Buddy made international and national news repeatedly. And the crime was so heinous. And the boy, absolutely no remorse. Now, we don't know who the boy was. Some of us do, but he was a minor. His name may not be mentioned. And because he was 12 years old and not 13, he could not be prosecuted. So we're hoping that his family or someone is doing something to get that boy some help.
Right, exactly, because that's not normal. I mean, these animals are defenseless, helpless, voiceless, and innocent, okay? Just like children and elderly.
Well,
and they can't defend themselves. I mean, they don't stand a chance at all. Go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, when we're kids, when we were children, and there are plenty of children right now, the boys next door to me used to capture butterflies and pin them to a board. And I started whacking those boys around because what they were doing was mean. Why? What was the purpose? You can say
right.
Curiosity, but curiosity shouldn't be at the expense of the life of any creature. If you're curious, watch them, you know, learn from their living habits, their behavior. I mean, once they're dead, the only thing they're doing is sitting there, unless, of course, if you're a scientist and you can, you know, get into their molecular development and so forth. But the reality is curiosity is not always what it should be. Truly curious mind is going to want to learn and investigate from natural behavior and not by capturing something. And, you know, well, we know for one thing, there are some creatures that in captivity will harm their own babies, where they wouldn't do that out in the wild. And the other thing is we've got all these crazy people who keep wanting to have exotic companion animals. Why? You know,
right.
When you get a snake or a lizard, they may or may not live very long in your care, but do you know how many died getting there? I refer back to the pet shop supplier that we busted. 683 living beings were in his warehouse. And when we took them out, over half of them were already dead. So what is the prognosis? You know, we see people going to PetSmart and Petco and other pet shops, and oh gee, all the equipment is there to lure you in to buy one of those poor creatures. And when you watch them in their tanks, they're all trying to get out. They don't want to be in a tank.
No,
my mom rescued a turtle when I was a little girl. I was 4 or 5 years old when my mother rescued the turtle. He happened to be a Mississippi slider. He was painted. My mom took the paint off of his back. That turtle lived to be 40 years old in our home. Now, what, you know, we had no place to release him that we knew of. Ignorance on our family's part in keeping him and not finding a pond for him or something. But my mother didn't just keep him in a tank. She let him wander around the house. She let him go out in the patio, supervised. She let him swim in the bathtub. Occasionally, there may be an animal that can't be released because it's injured. But our turtle could have been released if my parents or my mom had looked into it. At least I'll grant her this. The turtle lived a full life expectancy.
Nope, I just can't, you know, why doesn't anybody need a snake? Just let them live freely. You know, it doesn't make sense at all, doll. You know, just bringing them in and, oh, it's sickening. I can't believe what is going out there.
I think a lot of it is ego. When you go to PetSmart and you see somebody come in and they have their snake wrapped around them, they want you to look at them because they have the snake. There was a photo shoot at Christmas time years ago, and I was Santa, and I had my volunteers, and people brought their puppy dogs for a Christmas photo, innocent fun, and we made some, you know, we made some money. But one man brought a baby monkey in, and I refused to take a photo. And he tried to get me thrown out of the store. Well, it didn't work. But why was he there? Well, first of all, people gathered around him, and he started telling them about how wonderful the monkey was. And the bottom line was they had taken the monkey away from her mother when the monkey was a baby. It was a horrible thing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Aisles. Yeah.
Whoa. Mm-mm-mm. And we got a couple calls in the queue.
Great.
So you ready to take some calls? Erica 719. And you're live and on the air. Thanks for calling in. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio. Go right ahead. You have any comments or questions for the guest?
Hey, Deb and
Hello?
Ray. How you doing?
Hey, it's Mama Cat. How's it going there? Thanks for calling in.
It's going great. Well, I wanted to mention, I also don't agree with critters like, you know, snakes and stuff being stuffed in an aquarium and just looked at for the rest of their life. There are times when they need to be rescued, and I don't know why, but I always happen to find them little critters. I got a plant from Florida one time, and I bought it down in Florida, and I brought it back to Colorado. And when we got it home, I went to plant it, and I found 5 little green anole lizards.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I can't set them free in Colorado because the little buggers would croak, you know.
Right.
So I got an aquarium, a big one. It was 100 gallons. And I read up on them to see what their habitat was and how to take care of them. And their life expectancy is somewhere like five, six years. Well, I had them for almost 11 years before one by one, they all kind of passed away pretty close to each other, so they were all probably about the same age. But they were very healthy. I took really good care of them. And then I also have a 6.5-foot long corn snake that my son was doing a job at doing a furnace in some guy's house. And they had this pillowcase, and they were swinging it around outside. And my son come up, and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, we got this corn snake, and, you know, we're sick of having to feed them all the time." They were going to throw that snake in a pillowcase out in the snowbank and just let it freeze to death out there. So my son took the pillowcase, obviously, and he called me. He goes, "Mom, I don't know exactly how to say this." I was like, "Okay, what kind of critter is it?" And he told me the story, and I told him, "Well, bring it home. We've got a couple 200-gallon tanks. We'll set it up." I don't know anything about a corn. Now, the corn snake was already about 4 foot long when he got it. So it had been raised in captivity. You can't let them go back in the wild.
Right. Right.
You know, so we still have her, and she's 6.5 foot long now. You know, but I agree. Those pet store lizards and all the frogs and the fancy little things that they sell, I just don't agree with it. Because people get them, they bring them home, and they do not know how to take care of them. You know?
Totally agree. That's what rescue is. There's a difference between rescue and taking in an animal that can't be released and what the other folks are doing, just kind of massaging their ego. I totally agree.
Yeah. We saved a bunch of horned toad lizards. We were on vacation and we pulled into this rest stop, and there's this spraying. I thought it was weed killer or whatever he was spraying, and I'm looking and I'm like, "What is that?" On all this tall grass had these like balls up on the very top of them. I couldn't figure out what it was. I go look. Well, there was hundreds of these short-horned lizards, and he was spraying poison, so they were climbing up the grass trying to get out of that poison. And I'm like, "Oh my God, they're all gonna die." And he said, "Well, you know, that's just part of the deal." I thought, what a jerk. So I'm over there with my shirt, pulled my shirt up, and I'm grabbing all these little lizards, putting them in my shirt, bringing them back to the bus, rinsing them all off with water, trying to save as many as we could, you know. And then I ran them across the street and released them on the other side away from the rest area. But there was a couple of them that they just didn't look good. So I kept those. I put them in a bucket. We went straight to a pet store. I got a tank for them. We were on vacation in the RV. But I saved them, brought them home, took care of them. And I had them for, you know, they're only supposed to live like 2 to 5 years, but I had them over 10. So they were very well taken care of. Yeah.
That's because you got a huge heart there, Mama Cat. You know, animal lovers are awesome. They take the time, the meaningful time, and take care of them. And Mama Cat,
well,
we got
know,
another call
guy
here.
Okay. That guy
I'm
didn't
take
care.
Call, so stay on there, okay?
All right.
We've only got 5.5 minutes left, so that hour goes so fast. You're welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carried for Animals. Do you have any questions or comments for the guests? Go right ahead. We've got a packed queue, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in. And press 1 in the queue if you want to speak, because we only have like 5.5 minutes left. Go right ahead. Is this Pitbull Diane?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Hello? I didn't hear my area code. It's me.
How you doing, Diane?
I'm doing great. Yeah. I'm really enjoying the show. I don't really have any questions or anything, but I did want to comment on Dahl at how informative she is, and it's amazing what she's doing. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
And let me say, Queenie, people need to understand, okay? Like, I hear people all the time come up to me and go, oh, I couldn't do what you do. And, you know, here's the bottom line. I was one of those people who just really didn't have a direction in life. And I wanted to get married. I wanted to have kids. The marriage didn't work out. I lost my second husband, but we did have his children. The bottom line is I've always responded to what's around me. And when I became an animal advocate, it was because I saw on TV that Bob Barker was having mobilization for animals, and I felt like I was the only human who cared. I really felt that way. At the time, I was actually living on a rodeo ranch, and my friends were wonderful, but what was going on the ranch wasn't wonderful, and that's how I initially got involved. And then you learn, and you take action. And, you know, when people say you're afraid, I'm a scaredy cat. I'm terrified at a lot of things. But you know what? You got to stand up for what's right. Otherwise, the bad guys win. It's really that
That's
simple.
That's right. Agreed and amen right there. You know, we can't let them win because, you know, that's we have to do what's right for the animals. We are the animals' voices, and we must be heard. So everyone do your part, and, you know, put a little love in your heart, do your part, and take that action because that's the key right there. You know, we got to protect these animals and their safety and their well-being, their welfare. So, everyone, I got just 2 minutes. I could take a real quick call here, and we're going to go. Area code 203, you're live and on the air. We just got 2.5 minutes. Go ahead. Do you have any comments or questions for the guests, please? Go ahead.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
My name is – can you hear me?
Yes. Go
can
right
you hear
ahead.
Me?
I can hear you real good.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I got on the show real late because I had a problem. I have a dog that's sick. I had to take care of him. But I just want to thank you guys. I'm a friend of Diane from PA, the pit bull, and I'm glad I looked at the Facebook because I didn't know you guys were on. But very informative, brought tears to my eyes, and I can do what I can for animals, but not as much as her or you guys. But I just want to thank
hey,
you.
Hey, every counts there,
thank
you know.
We
every
all
every
have
every
a goal. We all have
I do
right.
the best I can. Yeah, no, I do the best I can. And it was good. I'm glad I grabbed you because I started at 7:30.
Yes.
And
okay.
It was good.
Really. Well, ladies,
so
I got a minute and a half here, and I want to thank
no,
you for calling. And I hope you start listening more, and I hope your dog gets better,
oh,
okay?
I will.
Feels better.
I heard the first
and,
months ago, and I'll continue.
Yeah, and Diane, thank you for calling
yeah.
in. Thank you for in that group together, Animal Advocates Radio Voices Care for Animals support group on Facebook. Everyone, check it out. Archive shows and upcoming broadcast. And Mama Cat, thank you for calling in and being a big part of the Voices Care for Animals also. It takes teamwork to see any victories, everybody. And I want to thank all you listeners for tuning in. And next week we'll have Jessie Miller. It'll be her first time founder of Epic Outreach. I want to welcome her aboard. And, Dahl, thank you. And looking forward to having you on the show again, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And keep me informed
thank
what's
you.
Going on. And, you know, keep sharing your stuff and keep us updated, okay? But thank you all for tuning in, and hope you join us in with us next week, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide, everyone. Another great show this evening. Thank you so much, and may God bless you all. paw in
Thank
hand,
you for doing what you
united
do.
We stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Thank you all.
Amen.
Thank you,
everybody. Have a nice and peaceful evening. And thank you, Animal Advocate Alliance. Thank you, Gary Bradford. Bye-bye. Good night, everyone.
Good.
Thank you for tuning
good night.
In.
Take care.